Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right. We are back. It is the Weekly Worldview. Welcome to a special Tuesday, Wednesday. What day is this? Wednesday night edition of the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. And I've been getting emails from listeners checking in. Doug, is everything okay? What's going on? Hope you're all right. I hope it's nothing serious. I hope you're not in the hospital. Well, everything is fine, ladies and gentlemen. Let me try to explain the technical difficulties that I personally experienced. You see, it's flooding down in Texas, and all the telephone lines are down. And I've been trying to reach my baby, but I can't get a single sound, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer. Because suddenly it felt like she was the only one listening. But seriously, I was trapped by a flood in North Texas. I had to zip down to the North Dallas area for a whirlwind tour, figuring I could get back in time. But I was, there we go. I know, I've got to come back. I've got to come back. He said to the track. Very witty. Not a lot of people would have understood that reference. To the late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan. So I'm driving through Amarillo, Texas, and I've always had an irrational fear that I am going to die in a tornado. Yeah, I've always had this irrational fear. You tell him about it, Stevie. Now, he knows what he's talking about now. Yeah, he does. He's going to say it twice just so you understand the seriousness of the situation. And then what happened, Stevie? How bad was it, brother? How bad was it, my brother? Oh, I know how that feels. Uh-huh. Lord, I can't get a single sound. And that hurts so bad. That hurts so bad. So bad. I think we gotta let it roll now. I like that. It's about to drive home me insane, what the man said. And he knows what he's talking about. All right. It's the late, great Stevie Ray Vaughan. I want to thank you. All right. Thank you, Stevie. Exit stage left. So I've always had this irrational fear that I am going to die in a tornado. And you can ask my extremely attractive audio engineer whether or not this is true, that when hail starts falling, I get paralyzed with an irrational fear. Other situations, I can remain relatively calm. But as soon as hailstones start falling, I freak out. I'm completely useless. So I'm driving through Amarillo. I'm trying to make it from North Texas to Dumas in one stretch. And I'm driving under these green, it looks like giant green bowling balls. That's what the clouds look like. And I'm praying to the Lord that I won't be struck by a tornado. And the rain is coming down in sheets, I tell you. And I got outside of Amarillo, and before I could get to Dumas on 287, I come to a bridge, and there's cars floating in the median. Well, I'm not sure if they were floating, but all I could see was the roofs of the cars. So I didn't go any further, me and about 100 other people. And the police came, and needless to say, we couldn't get through. We had to go back to Amarillo, which I'll tell you what, that's no fun. Driving back to Amarillo, when you have to turn around and go back to Amarillo, I mean, you are one, you got the blues. I tell you what, I had the blues. So anyway, because of the Texas flood, see, my work schedule got a bit insane. And so I hope you'll bear with me. I'm glad you were all very patient, and we're so glad to be with you and glad that you waited. And so now we should get right to the news, even though I know everybody right now is just jonesing to hear the solo from Texas Flood. That's all I want to hear right now. But we got to get to the news, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start in England, where Jaguar is producing their new Land Rover. And they're developing a technology to enable the new Land Rover to identify potholes as they encounter them and share that data in real time with road authorities and other vehicles. This story is from thenextweb.com, and they report that this upcoming feature will help government agencies prioritize road repairs and enable drivers to avoid major potholes and broken manholes. That's pretty cool. I just wanted to open with something uplifting. They say that the Land Rover's pothole alert system could very well supply data to aid in maintaining the road network. Now, the downside of that is that the local governments, still have to have the money and the workers to actually fix the potholes. I don't think finding the potholes has ever been that big of a problem, although this is very cool. They say that this thing can help the car itself avoid the pothole.
We need a pothead.
Yeah, that we got more potheads, we can't fix the potholes.
No, we need a pothead alert.
Oh, well, we need a detection for potheads. Yeah. I see. So the first question that the fella that I'm working with down in the North Dallas area asks me, I introduce myself, tell him a little bit about myself, tell him how interested I am in his business model. And the first question out of his mouth is, how's that marijuana thing going there in Colorado? I was just wondering, is that going all right? I said, I can't even carry on a conversation outside of the state of Colorado without people asking me about marijuana in Colorado. So yes, perhaps Range Rover will come out with a pothead detector so that we can avoid those as well. But now you disrupted the point that I was trying to make a serious socio-political point.
I thought you did.
Oh, you thought I already made that point. Well, the thing is local, state, federal governments, they will always get their welfare checks out on time. But will they have enough people to collect this data to fix these potholes? And I don't think they can. Although I'm sure they'll give it the old college try. But I'm afraid that we've already squandered all of our resources on welfare and other various government programs, and so the potholes may go unfixed. Now, last week we talked about happiness, so this week we go to the science. Really? File. Where researchers say they've cracked the code to being happy. This is from CBS in New York. The Mayo Clinic says they've cracked the code to being happy. By the way, the Mayo Clinic, according to CBS, is one of the most prestigious health organizations in the world, with as many as 8,000 ongoing studies exploring every imaginable condition, including unhappiness. And so these experts say, the human mind is instinctively restless, wandering from good thoughts to sad thoughts to scary thoughts and everything in between. And they say the first and foremost way to be happy is to focus our attention. They say if we learn to command our thoughts away from the negative and embrace the positive, we will be happier. Happy people, they say, are very good at compartmentalizing and creating boundaries. They say when you get home from work, if you're all stressed out, you got to just turn that off and focus on the positive. They say the biggest hindrance to being happy is too much thinking about one's self. Imagine that. Yeah. Yeah, that's biblical, actually. Paul, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, meditate on those things which are good and wholesome and lovely and edifying. He never says, meditate on yourself or your selfie or your Facebook page or your Twitter feed. And so there you have it. I think that gets close to what I was talking about on last week's show, and I didn't even need a Mayo Clinic-funded study. Just focus on doing righteousness and on other people, and you will end up happy. So there you have it, straight from the Mayo Clinic. And now we move to one of the most encouraging stories of the past week. The United States is now the biggest oil and natural gas producer in the world, demonstrating a seismic shift in the world energy landscape emanating from America's shale fields. That's right, America is now ahead of Russia, according to Bloomberg News, as a producer of hydrocarbons. That's oil and gas combined, by the way, for those of you who matriculated in the public schools and wouldn't know a hydrocarbon from a hydro whatever. I was going to try to say something witty, but I couldn't come up with anything. Yeah, that's it. I need you as my producer. We'll go back and he'll say, you wouldn't know a hydrocarbon from hydroponics. Actually, here in Colorado, they do know hydroponics. BP chief economist Spencer Dale says, the implications of the shale revolution for the U.S. are indeed profound. That's right. You remember we reported last year how the Russians and OPEC were going to work to drive the price of oil down, to try to drive out the shale producers. And you remember what I said? I said, bring it on. Well, they brought it on, and now we have won. And I'm very happy about this. Let's see. The other major shift in British Petroleum's report is China's energy demand growing at the slowest pace since the Asian financial crisis of the late 1990s. In the U.S., the boom in oil and gas production has started to change the economy profoundly, BP says. Cheap fuel has seen manufacturing return to the U.S., and as the country produced about 90% of the energy we consumed last year, we produced it right here, Vladimir. Huh? Mohammed, take that. How about that? They go on with the percentages of increase and all that, but we're not interested in all that. We're just happy that we're number one, just as I suspected we might be if there were to be a competition started by the Russians and the oil-producing and exporting countries, all those guys. No, what is it? OPEC? Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. Yeah, we can whip you guys. No problem. And we're doing it. Now, since we're talking about economics, let's go to a Reuters story from Harare, Zimbabwe. That's Robert Mugabe's socialist paradise in Zimbabwe. Well, the African country there in Zimbabwe has started using foreign currencies like the U.S. dollar and the South African rand. They started using them back in 2009 after the Zimbabwean dollar was ruined by hyperinflation. Well, now they are basically telling everyone, turn in your Zimbabwe currency and you can receive either dollars or rands. So bank account, listen to this. If you have a bank account balance of 175 quadrillion Zimbabwe dollars, you will be paid $5. Zimbabweans have had to carry plastic bags bulging with banknotes to buy basic goods like bread and milk. It's like the Weimar Republic times 10. Anyway, the highest banknote to be printed by the bank there, the central bank in Zimbabwe, was a $100 trillion Zimbabwean dollar note. That's one bill. And that was not enough to ride a public bus to work for a week. $100 trillion. So, anyways, America is not Zimbabwe, so I don't think anything quite this disastrous is going to happen here anytime soon. But this is what happens when you start printing money out of control, and I just want to say that there has been some of that going on and that we should be concerned, not necessarily of a financial collapse, but we should be concerned about the tolerance for the corruption involved in just printing money and bailing out entities that are deemed too big to fail. And it's just not going to end well, that's all. Hopefully we won't be like Zimbabwe in 2015 or Germany in 1921. Hopefully, we won't end up like that. But I'm not sure I've seen what is to stop that. I'm not sure how that is. Hopefully, calmer heads will prevail and people just won't go crazy and everything will end up okay. Yeah, that happens all the time throughout history. Meanwhile, over in Iran, I've got a story here from the French Press Association, Dateline Jerusalem. CIA chief John Brennan has reportedly made a secret visit to Israel to discuss an emerging nuclear deal with Iran and world powers. A secret visit to Israel from John Brennan. This comes as the June 30th deadline looms for a deal that the Barry Ho administration insists would restrict Iran's ability to get the nuclear bomb, but that folks like me and Benjamin Netanyahu have pointed out does not eliminate the possibility of Iran getting a nuclear bomb. And that's what we were all hoping for. We don't want to push the bomb out for Iran. We want to make it impossible for Iran to get a bomb. And of course, we would love to do that in a peaceful way if we're able to discuss things rationally, have calmer heads prevail, and sit down with the mullahs who have sworn death to Israel and America, and to just try to make sure that we can all sit down and hold hands and sing a song and make sure that everything's just going to be okay. Running out of time already. The first segment of the show, and I can already tell we're not going to have enough time. Put those guitars away, boys. We have got to get back to work. Here in the war file, we have 6 more detainees being transferred out of Guantanamo Bay by Barry Ho. The United States, according to CNN, has announced the transfer of 6 terrorists from Guantanamo. They call them detainees because that's that's like a neutral journalist kind of word. I call them terrorists. He sent them to Oman, which is in Jordan, for those of you who matriculated in the government schools. All 6 detainees are from Yemen. And everything's fine in Yemen. I'm sure this will be just fine. Barry, of course, let's see. This is part of his effort to eventually close the detention center in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. There are 116 terrorists remaining. They are being detained, but we don't call them detainees. They're terrorists who we are detaining. 116 remain. Obama signed an executive order on his 3rd day in office, if you'll remember, to begin the process of shutting down Guantanamo Bay. Just an irrational promise to his radical leftist base that he would close Guantanamo. And he's going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. Come hell or high water. He will close Guantanamo Bay, and every one of the terrorists who want to return to the battlefield against America, well, they will have the opportunity, thanks to Barry Ho and the girl junta who are running the country. Let's see. CNN reports that the United States tries to find countries that will provide security against possible trouble from former prisoners and human rights assurances regarding the former inmates. So we try to find countries that will tell us everything's going to be okay. Dad, go right ahead. We'll take care of them. We'll make sure that they're taken care of, and we'll make sure everything's just fine. Yes. Don't worry. So let's go now to the bad government file. You heard about the hack of the federal employees at the Office of Personnel Management there. Maybe 4 million, maybe 10 million, maybe 14 million. People had their personal information hacked by what may or may not be Chinese hackers, may or may not be Russian, may or may not be Iranian, or may not be North Korean. We just don't know, but we know they were hacked. Well, the Office of Personnel Management there at the federal government, they released a statement on the attack, and they had claimed that the agency discovered the breach as it had, quote, undertaken an aggressive effort to update its cybersecurity posture, unquote. Yes, that's, in fact, a DHS, Department of Homeland Security spokesperson said that, quote, interagency partners, unquote, were helping the OPM improve its network monitoring through which OPM detected new malicious activity. So we're lucky that government workers were on the job and we were able to detect this before the last two people were exposed. The other 14 million, we're really sorry, but there were two that we managed to, Barack and Michelle, their information was the only, the only two people whose identity was not stolen were the Obama girls, Malia and Shaniqua, or whatever her name is. Those are the only two. But here's the kicker, folks. According to a Wall Street Journal report, the breach was actually discovered back in April during a sales demonstration of a network forensic software package. That's right. A sales rep goes in there to show the government he's going to run a diagnostic study on the OPM's network to show them how great his cybersecurity product is. And lo and behold, he discovers malware has been embedded in the network for who knows how long. So a sales rep discovers the actual hack. And that explains why maybe it was 4 million or maybe it was 14 million. By the way, are there actually 14 million federal workers? I see that this includes former and present federal employees. If there was 4 million federal employees, that would be disturbing to me. Not surprising, but it would be disturbing to me that there are that many. But anyway, I'm a sales rep, so I found it kind of funny that a sales rep found the problem. I think that's so cool. Anyway, I'm glad we found the problem. I hope we can find out who's responsible. And I hope that they will be arrested and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. How about that? All right. So, and kudos to the sales rep. Sales reps get a bad rep, you know. People generally think that we're a bunch of thieving, lying, deceitful. And generally, that's true. Generally, that is true, I must say. But I had the opportunity to meet with some good, honest folks down in Texas this past week. And I'm an honest sales rep. I'm actually an honest sales rep. You can ask my clients. I will not lie. I've been fired from jobs. I've lost lines because I just won't dole out the Kool-Aid on products. I mean, and so anyway, that's why I ended up being an independent, because I don't work and play well with others. Now let's go. Let's go to, I'm not supposed to focus on myself. I won't be happy. I've got to focus on others. So let's go to Japan and let's focus on them. Dateline Tokyo from United Press International. Judge Masamito Shiseki of the Tokyo District Court has ruled that sex between a plaintiff's husband and a prostitute was strictly business and therefore did not harm the marriage. And basically the wife, well, she's got nothing to complain about. She should shut up. And So the court has ruled that, well, a married man hiring a prostitute, they say such conduct does not damage peaceful marital life. Shiseki is quoted as saying, "Ah, yes, this is so. Even if the wife is disgusted by the act, it does not constitute a legal offense. I'm so sorry." That's what the judge ruled. That if a guy, I know. It's, this is an example of my extremely attractive audio engineer's axiom that Japan, the decline and fall of Japan, is like America on steroids. If we can look to Japan and see what's about to happen to us happening to them much faster. because of a number of factors. The fact that we went in during World War II, we destroyed their country, we destroyed their culture. We pretty much wiped out their religion. And we built them up as a democratic, socialist, parliamentary government. And that just wasn't going to end well. I know that MacArthur sent missionaries and did all he could, but the bottom line is we set up a secular, godless government. And Japanese culture is just, it's on its way to hell in a handbasket a lot faster than America. Now, the plaintiff in the case did not appeal the ruling, because in Japan, if you appeal the ruling, the husband's allowed to slap you around, I think. She did not appeal, and her attorney told the Japan Times that the case would weaken legal protections against adultery in Japan. So in Japan, apparently, adultery is still on the books as a criminal offense. But basically, this ruling ensures that Japan will continue to slide toward utter immorality and godlessness. And we should look to them, and it should be a cautionary tale for us. And in fact, let's go to Seoul, South Korea. Another story from United Press International. An online dating service catering to married clientele who want to have an affair has resumed its South Korean operations after South Korea repealed a 62-year-old law against adultery. I won't mention the name of the company, but you all know who it is. That company was banned from South Korea until last week, when the parliament there in Korea, the legislature, basically rolled back the law making adultery a crime and making the advocacy of and the facilitation of adultery a crime, all of which are criminal behaviors. For now, the government agency in Korea said that the website that will not be mentioned will be allowed to operate, but they say they will watch it closely for any potential abuse. If the website is built on abuse, they're going to watch it for abuse? They're probably going to watch it so they can look for affairs to have, is what I would assume. That's what they'll be mostly watching. But there you have it. More little victories for immorality and godlessness and just the long war, the long rebellion against the living God and the good common sense he gave us, and against the building block of civilization, the nuclear family, one man, one woman, for life, with kids, if at all possible. As we rebel against that, we ensure the destruction of our civilization, whether you're in the Far East or the Southwest or right here in Colorado, the good old United States of America. We are working toward the destruction of the nation when we overthrow the one institution that God instituted to keep us all from killing each other, and that's marriage. And it has been knocked down a couple of pegs there in the Far East. So let's return here to America to see if things are going any better. We'll go to Albany, Georgia. This is from WALB.com. That is either a radio or television station. I am not sure. But the Daugherty County District Attorney has said he is dismissing a murder charge against a young lady whose five-month-old fetus was delivered and died after she took an abortion pill. This young lady was released from custody last week after agreeing to appear in court for a misdemeanor charge of possession of a dangerous drug. She had been charged with malice murder for knowingly taking a pill that would cause the death of her unborn child. She purchased the drug over the internet, and the drug caused her to deliver her baby boy, who died about a half an hour at a local hospital. An autopsy has been ordered to determine if the baby ever took a breath, because for some reason that makes a difference to some people. I'm not sure why they would draw the line there, but they do. Oh, I do know why they draw the line there. It's so that they can continue murdering inconvenient, innocent people. That's why. I'd be remiss not to. Oh, by the way, in Georgia, women have explicit immunity from prosecution of any unlawful termination of their own pregnancy. So you could replace the term their own pregnancy with any people group you would like, be it blacks or Jews or women. In Georgia, women have explicit immunity from prosecution for any unlawful termination of a woman, of a man, of a black person, of a Jew, of a handicapped person. If you replace that last phrase, their own pregnancy, with any other people group, you would realize how horrific this crime is. What if it said in Georgia, women have an explicit immunity from the prosecution, women have explicit immunity from prosecution for any unlawful termination of a Weekly Worldview listener? What if it was you? Well, then maybe you would care and you would do something about it. But I think most people don't care. They're mostly focused on themselves, and they find themselves happy to some degree, while all around them, the civilization is degenerating into murder and mayhem. But everybody thinks it's just going to be okay. Who do you think's going to be playing hell? I'm going to vote for Miley Cyrus, even though I know Bon Scott is there. He's ensconced, I'm sure. Yeah, he knew where he was going. But I'm going to vote for Miley Cyrus. Actually, nobody's going to be playing hell. What? What did you say? Yeah, that's what it's going to feel like with the flames, gnashing of the teeth and all that. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to vote for Miley Cyrus. Thinks she's going to play hell. It's from the Bad Religion file, The Guardian in London, a paper that I absolutely hate to give any credit to for anything. But hey, that's where I found the story. I'm sorry. The Bad Religion file, Miley Cyrus has revealed that she told her mother that she was a bisexual at the age of 14. And that her religious parents, well, she calls them, I can't even say that, what she called her own parents. I thought her father was, wasn't he the country singer who, like, the one-hit wonder from the 80s or the early 90s? Billy Bob Cyrus? What was his name? Something like that. He had, anyway, she says her parents were very religious. I don't remember that guy being very religious. But I suppose if you're Miley Cyrus, I mean... anyone who doesn't worship Satan in their front yard seems really religious. So there you have it. She anyway, at the time, she was breaking out as Disney star Hannah Montana. And she says, it was so hard for my mom to, like, understand. She didn't want me to, like, be judged. And she didn't want me to, like, go to hell. But she believed in me more than she believes in any god. So I just asked for her to accept me, and she has.
She's really religious.
Oh, yeah. Very religious woman. Her mother, apparently. Yeah. Billy Ray Cyrus, not Billy Bob Cyrus. We want to make sure that we're accurate here. Cyrus is promoting her Happy Hippie Foundation. Her foundation strives to help homeless and LGBT youth. So I guess you could be homeless, or you could be a sexually confused, mentally ill person. And Miley Cyrus wants to give you some money, apparently. So in her promotion of her foundation, she comes out and says how much she hated her parents, how religious they were, and how she says she does not identify. Where is that here? Listen to the wisdom guiding America's youth through the pop culture as you and I speak. Now, I'm sure I have a profound influence on the culture in America. As do the preachers in 10,000 pulpits across America. But I can assure you that Miley Cyrus has more influence than all of us. Because for some reason the youngsters, they follow her. I can't imagine why. But in an interview, Cyrus says that she was inspired to set up her homeless charity after accepting the huge disparity between her life and the lives of others. She says, you know, I can't like drive by in my bleep Porsche and not bleep do something. I see it all day. People in their Bentleys and their Rolls Royces and like their Ubers driving past these vets who have fought for our country or these young women who have been raped. I was doing a show two nights ago and I was wearing butterfly. I can't say that. I can't say what she did at her show. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. And I was wearing like butterfly wings and I'm standing there with. Well, I can't say that either. I'm dressed like a butterfly. How the bleep is that fair? How am I so lucky? I don't identify with being a boy or a girl, by the way. So that's the wisdom guiding our children. Well, not my children. My children have never heard of Miley Cyrus, nor shall they if I have anything to do with it. I suppose once they grow up and move out, they'll read about how Miley Cyrus died. Am I predicting? Yes, I'm predicting that she will die young and tragically. Not that I want her to, but she's on a hell-bent path to destruction. She'll either be dead or maybe I should be less pessimistic. Maybe her career will just be over and nobody will listen to her anymore by the time my children are old enough to have their own television, which they are not yet. Thank heaven. All right, now I've got a story from the bizarro world. Yes, mixed martial artist, that's an MMA fighter. You all may be familiar with this. That's where men beat each other into submission for the entertainment of other people. MMA. And if you like it, God bless you. I'm not judging you. It's just not something I'm into. I used to watch boxing when I was a young child, but I think that's only because I thought my dad would think I was cool. Yeah, after I moved out, I would watch fights, and I was like, wow, okay. I don't know about that. It's just, anyway, but the MMA is big. It's big, right? It's bigger than boxing. Well, MMA fighter Fallon Fox defeated Tamika Brents just 2 minutes into the first round of their fight. Tamika suffered a damaged orbital bone, which required 7 staples, and she got a concussion. This is female MMA. So for those of you who just, there's just not enough blood in the male and you just really want something entertaining, you can watch two girls beat each other senseless on pay-per-view on MMA. Anyway, the girl who lost the fight, she summed it up. She said, I've never felt so overpowered ever in my whole life. Yes, reports are that MMA fighter Fallon Fox threw knees to Brent's face and torso right at the beginning. Brents ultimately turned her back to avoid more damage. It took almost a minute of being pummeled, I said, by Fallon Fox before the referee finally stepped in and ended the spectacle. And the crowd went wild. Now, it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, that Fallon Fox, female MMA fighter, was actually born a man. Yeah, Fallon Fox is a man. And because Fox transitioned gender so recently, this freak of nature still has many of the advantages that being a man has when you're beating on a girl. I shouldn't laugh so much, I know, but it's just, I don't want to go insane, and so I chuckle at it a bit. So this guy transgenders to allegedly being a girl and then beats women for a living in front of God and everyone. And apparently is being paid to do this. Are we not living in a completely insane culture that a guy would be allowed to take some hormones, put on a push-up bra, and then go pound on other women? Not other women. See, even I get confused. Anyway, criticism is mounting, both from MMA fighters and the greater public at large. Because, now, I don't want to disparage MMA viewers, because I know some of my listeners watch this stuff and they like it, and that's fine, I guess. But I mean, if you're going to enrage the MMA viewership, you have to be doing something pretty bad, because they're paying to watch men beat each other senseless into submission, into a bloody pulp. And so to offend them, boys beating up girls offends MMA fans, okay? And they're kind of getting sick of it. But for now, Fallon Fox, the boy, remains classified as a female fighter, and he says he's ready to fight with any girl who wants to take him on. That's the report from the bizarro world, ladies and gentlemen. And so we continue deeper into the bizarro vortex with reason number one, never to get a tattoo. Now, when I was in the service, a lot of my friends got tattoos. And I was never committed enough to an image or drunk enough to get a tattoo. So I am tattoo free. But I have spent many a late night in a Japanese or a Korean tattoo parlor with a relatively intoxicated fellow service member who got a bulldog with a drill sergeant hat tattooed on his shoulder or chest or USMC. Anyway, I just never could do it. I used to sit and draw pictures of the tattoo that I would get. Elaborate. It always involved musical notes and snakes and fire, but I just never could do it. I think it was because I was raised in a God-fearing family. Despite the fact that I was an unrepentant, out-of-control heathen and generally a bad influence on everyone I knew when I was in the service, because I had been raised with the fear of God from a small child, I knew that disfiguring my body with tattoos, I knew that God would not like that. And while I was not a dedicated follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I am now, I did not want to make him mad. That probably kept me from getting myself killed, and it certainly kept me from getting tattooed. And it proves the axiom in the scripture that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it, and it might even help him survive his youth, which... it helped me, and I want to thank my mother and father right now, with all sincerity, for teaching me that there was a God and that I was not him, and that he cared enough to send his son to save my pathetic, worthless life. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Now, I need to get back to reason number one, not to get a tattoo. Doctors in California mistook a woman's tattoos on a scan for cancer. Yeah, and it wasn't until the mother of four had her uterus, cervix, fallopian tubes, and pelvic lymph nodes removed that doctors realized that the bright spots on her tests were actually her tattoos. Yeah, I know. Well, her lymph nodes actually contained deposits of tattoo ink and not cancer. Now, doctors say that they had actually planned to remove all this stuff anyways. And they went ahead with the surgery, but they say in retrospect, had they known that the lymph nodes were impregnated with tattoo ink, that she might have been able to keep them, but, well, she didn't. And so there's reason number one, not to get a tattoo. The other reason being, what's with the defacing and disfigurement of your body? I have a friend. He does construction type work. He's got a guy working for him. He's a nice guy, smart guy, bright, hard-working guy. He's got a wife. He's a fairly normal guy, but he's got tattoos all over him. He's got the disfiguring, the gauges in his ears. And I want to ask him. I'm a little afraid to ask him because I think he might beat me up if I ask him. I think he's probably tougher than I am, but I just want to ask him, like, what's with the disfiguring of your body? Is that, what's the attraction there? I mean, does your wife dig it? What's the deal? I just don't get it with the young kids. And I know. In high school, I wore an earring because I wanted to be cool. I had the mullet haircut, right, and the earring. Yeah, I'm from the 80s. So I had the mullet, and I had the earring. And so I suppose this is just the natural progression of that type of thing. that in 1984 you would wear a little stud in your ear, and that was rebelling against all of civilization and shouting that I am original and I am somebody, I am myself. And, well, it's just gotten a lot noisier now. There's a lot more noise to break through. And so now you've got to disfigure yourself and stick spikes and utensils through your face and disfigure your ears. And next it'll be the neck stretching rings and the lip plates from Africa. We should now there's a business model someone should look into. Marketing lip plates and neck stretching rings at the Hot Topic down at the mall. I think you could probably do pretty well. Bob Enyart made that assertion in the early 90s, but I think I've put it together now. Because there was no Hot Topic back in 1995 when Bob Enyart first contemplated importing neck rings and lip plates. And it also didn't seem realistic. It was kind of a laugh line, but now it could be a serious going concern if one chooses to line up some investors. Now let's move on from that to reason number 989 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. The leader of a movement promoting human extinction is arguing humanity is arguing. I can't hardly say this with a straight face. He's urging humanity to consider the fate of the planet before having any more children. This is from the leader of the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. I got this story from a website called BigIssue.com. Never heard of them before, but I assume this is this could be an Onion piece. I might be being duped right here. Maybe I shouldn't go any further. Anyway, I find this highly believable. the leader of the human extinction movement argues that an increasing human population is pushing Mother Earth's caring capacity to its limits, and he believes we should voluntarily phase ourselves out in order to save the planet for other less destructive life forms. Yeah, we have a quote from the leader of the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. He says, quote, "My main motivation is for wanting our species to become extinct is preservation of Earth's biosphere." That's his main motivation. Let's see. The Worldwide Fund for Nature estimates that between 200 and 2,000 species cease to exist every year, and the leader of the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement believes that humanity is directly responsible, and he apparently feels guilty about it. He told the Big Issue interview, quote, "As we phase ourselves out, the lives of those of us who exist will greatly improve. And those of us who don't exist, well, we won't know the difference." Unquote. Yeah, is this an Onion piece? I'm not sure how this got by my crack staff. I think this might be a fraud. Oh, why is this reason number 989? Well, this fellow, this leader and spokesperson for the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement, he is a substitute teacher from Portland, Oregon, who functions within the government school system. And reason number 989 is to get your kids out is, well, that they might come across a class that's run by this freak. Thank you for hanging with us all the way to the end. I have no idea what that guy said. I just have no idea. But that was the riff that inspired me to take up the guitar. And I never became all that proficient at it, to be honest with you. No, I never. My 13-year-old daughter, I came down. Have I already told this story on the air? I hope not. My 13-year-old daughter, I come downstairs the other night. She is covering Rush. She's trying to play Rush on the guitar, and she played it to where I could recognize it, Limelight. And I said, you know, you're probably the only person ever in the history of the world to try to play Rush other than Rush. I'm very impressed. And then I showed her that on her amplifier, she could turn on the distortion. And then she was like, wow. Well, then it was like, I mean, she just went for it. Yeah, it was awesome. How'd I get off on that? I'm not sure, but there you have it. Yeah, I play a little guitar and very badly. And so I'm a serviceable rhythm guitar player, but my 13-year-old is already better than I am. I never even attempted to play anything by Rush because that would have just been ridiculous. Come on. There was no way that was going to happen. But let's continue with the news. Because I don't want to focus on myself and make myself unhappy. And I don't want to start to wonder if indeed everything's going to be okay. I don't want to lose that fervent nirvana that boils just under the surface and kind of bubbles and festers and keeps me going. No, I'm making all that up. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to finish the show. By the way, I have to let you people know, I have to go on the road for two consecutive trade shows. And so I don't believe I'll be back for the next two Sundays. And I won't even be in the facility. I won't have access to the facility. I'll only be able to come home for a brief period during this next 10 days or so. I'll only be able to come home for a brief period. And I won't have the energy for all this. So, you'll just have to figure out how to get by. That's why I delayed the show this week, was to try to get you people ready for the next couple of weeks, in which I doubt you'll be able to hear me. Let's go to the justice file. CNN is reporting that the prison worker Joyce Mitchell provided equipment and tools to fugitive felons Richard Matt and David Sweat, who escaped from that prison in upstate New York. And I don't know if everyone in the audience is aware of this, but the idea of prison is inherently immoral. It's unbiblical, it's ungodly, it's inherently immoral, and it does not lead to justice being done. There should be no prisons. There should be only jails to hold people briefly until they're adjudicated, their case is adjudicated. And there are only three forms of punishment that are authorized by the living God who created us all and told us how to run this place. He gave us some really good advice. There is restitution, corporal punishment, and capital punishment, and that's it. Nowhere in the Bible does God authorize the government to lock people up like animals for the rest of their life or 10 years or whatever. And these two murderers, this all could have been avoided if these two convicted murderers had already been executed. We wouldn't have upstate New York gripped by fear of two murderers on the loose. Wouldn't have happened. And this poor woman, if there were no prison, she wouldn't have been put in a position to be taken advantage of by these obvious sociopaths who manipulated her and took advantage of her. And, the details are coming out. I mean, it's really creepy how scary this story is. And it should stand as a testament to the idea that the system we have in place of imprisoning people just does not work. And no matter, you say they were sentenced to life without parole and that they'd never get out. Well, guess what? They're out. And I know this doesn't happen all the time, but once, to me, should be enough to tell the governing officials that they're on the wrong path. And by the way, I hope they catch these guys and kill them, eliminate them with extreme prejudice. And I hope that no one else gets hurt, but, there's just no way that anyone can guarantee that other people won't be hurt. And it's got to be very scary to be living anywhere around that prison. Now you know my position, okay? And I know it's nothing original. I mean, I lifted it from the Bible. I was taught it by my pastor at my church. Do you people go to church? Has your pastor ever taught you from the Bible what God says about criminal justice? If not, you should sell everything you own, quit your job, move to Denver, and come to Denver Bible Church. Well, don't sell everything you own. And if you don't have to quit your job, if you can arrange a transfer, to try to do that. But you should come out here and actually learn what's in the Bible, because it'll blow your mind if you actually sit down and read the Bible. You'll be amazed at how much sense the Bible makes. It's not a confusing book if you just learn to understand the big picture. All right, speaking of the big picture, let's go to Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo Bank, where I have had a business account or some sort of account for the better part of 20 years I have done business with Wells Fargo. But just as soon as I can, I am going to be closing my accounts, because, well, Wells Fargo has a television commercial that features a pair of dykes adopting a child. And they put this commercial out there in front of God and everyone for everyone to see, as if this is going to encourage people to open an account at Wells Fargo because they celebrate deviant, perverted sexual immorality. Well, Franklin Graham has called on Christians to boycott Wells Fargo, and he didn't just call on anyone. He removed all of his foundations and his ministry's money from Wells Fargo, which is a significant amount of money. He closed his accounts at Wells Fargo after he saw their commercial with a couple of dykes adopting a poor, helpless, innocent child. And Franklin Graham says, quote, "Let's just stop doing business with those who promote sin. If enough of us do it, it will get their attention." And see, Franklin Graham has a point here. What we forget as Christians is that as the normal people, we are the vast majority of people in the country. And the loudmouthed homosexuals and the other deviants, they're not a pimple on our ability to affect business and the economy. We are the silent majority, and we should not be silent anymore. I will be closing my Wells Fargo bank account just as soon as I get off the road. A spokesperson for Wells Fargo responded by saying, "Wells Fargo proudly supports the LGBT community and anything else that's deviant and perverted." Was there anyone I missed? Was there queer Q or anything? We support that too. "At Wells Fargo, serving every customer is core to our vision and values. Diversity and inclusion are foundational to who we are as a company. And our advertising content reflects our company's values and represents the diversity of the communities we serve." Unquote. Yeah, you want to represent diversity? Good. You're going to do it without my money, you disgusting, foul, vile promoters of everything that is deviant and destructive. I'm not going to describe the commercial because it's too disturbing to describe. I'm sure you'll have a chance to see it. I saw another one. What state? Some Midwestern state has a commercial for their Michigan. "Come and visit Wisconsin." And it shows two guys hugging. Not Wisconsin. We don't want to smear Wisconsin. Minnesota. Two guys hugging each other on top of a... It's just disgusting. Anyway, it's amazing how the business community has been cowed by the homosexualists and the other perverts who are hell-bent on destroying the country. And Franklin Graham is right. If we, the normal people, would just stand up and say, no more of this rot. I mean, we're not going to call for you people to be killed or anything like that. We're not going to persecute you people. But would you just have the common decency to keep it in the closet, for crying out loud? You people are disgusting. And you're going to do it without our money. That's what we need to do. I'm not saying I don't advocate that homosexuality should be recriminalized. I don't want that to be confused. Because I believe it's criminal behavior. And so there. And that means I will never get a job with the big ad agency. That's another reason I'm an independent and I work for myself. Because everyone else would have fired me for my political views. All right, now let's go to the politics file. This is just strange. Federal prosecutors are asking for a protective order in the criminal case against former House Speaker Dennis Hastert that would keep any sensitive information from being revealed even after the case has been completed. Now, they say what they want to do is protect the identity of the alleged victim. Well, that's just hogwash. They want to hide what Denny Hastert did to those wrestling students in high school. That's what they want to do, because he's part of the big, you know, he's in with the in crowd there in Washington. And so they want to cover it up. I don't understand this. And anyway, they can't cover up the one kid he molested because that kid, they can't harm him because that kid already died of AIDS. The one kid he molested, we heard from that kid's sister a couple of weeks ago. But why do they want to cover up what Denny Hastert did? He was a child molester, a homosexual child molester, by the way, high school wrestling coach. And what he did needs to be out there in the open so that we can try to re-stigmatize sexual immorality. But I forgot, the justice system has no intention of re-stigmatizing even the most heinous sexual deviancy, like what Hastert did as a wrestling coach to high school boys. They just want to cover it up and just keep the whole calliope going. I don't understand it. All right, now let's move on quickly to reason number 898 to keep or get your children out of the government schools from WorldNet Daily. About 50 teachers and administrators at a Pennsylvania school district attended a recent training session on Islam and Arabic culture during an all-day in-service workshop. That's right, the workshop in the town of Lebanon, Pennsylvania, was led by an Arabic translator named Mohammed, oddly enough. And they say he took time off from his job as a caseworker for the Department of Human Services to share his knowledge of Islam with the staff. He says, we have a quote. Oh, let's see. There's a mosque founder, Hamid, who was interviewed by the Daily News there. And he said, quote, I think this is the first time ever in the United States that a school district goes to a mosque. Yeah, that's right. They went to a mosque. All these public school educators and administrators. They went to the mosque. The training session included a comparison and contrast of U.S. and Arab education, as well as a visit to a local mosque to learn about the Islamic religion and join in the congregation's prayer service. So the thing is about public educators is that prayer is absolutely meaningless to them. So they can go into a mosque, they can go into a Unitarian church, they could go into a Buddhist temple, and they could just pray with everybody and just kumbaya, and they feel wonderful. Now, if they went into a Baptist church, they would probably melt. But they're happy to pray with any pagan, because prayer means nothing to them, because they're post-religious, and you don't want your kids to have these as their guiding lights in their life. So that's reason number 898 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Finally, now I hate to end on a downer, but that's where we are. From the LA Times, female military veterans commit suicide at nearly six times the rate of other women. Their suicide rate is so high that it approaches that of male veterans. Suicide has become a major issue for the military over the last decade. And the LA Times says it's just not clear what's driving the rates. And the VA says the same thing. Well, we don't know why. Well, there's a couple things. Number one, 20 years of sustained warfare will destroy the minds of a lot of people who've had to be involved. And also, suicide has become a reasonable option for a lot of young people because they've been raised in a godless environment by a godless government education system. They've seen the passage of assisted suicide laws that make suicide seem fairly reasonable. So you're depressed, you've been in the war, you've seen some things that are horrible. Suicide is just one other option of ways to alleviate your suffering and try to make yourself feel like everything's going to just be okay. But I want to warn you people that if you kill yourself, you are immediately going to be introduced to the living God. And he is going to judge you for everything that you've done, everything that you've said, even every idle word. And suicide is no escape. Suicide is just a way to immediately move from wherever you are into judgment from the living God, who is completely righteous. So suicide is not a legitimate option. And it's another thing that needs to be stigmatized, but that's like a whole other show, and we will get to that. Should the Lord tarry, we will return. I want to thank my friends at Denver Bible Church, American Right to Life, and TheologyOnline.com. And should the Lord tarry through these next two trade shows, I and my extremely attractive audio engineer shall return. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.